Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today's the 7th day of September, and it's absolutely wonderful to be here with you today. It is my joy, my complete and distinct pleasure to be reading the Bible for us in chronological order as we walk through the Word of God so that we can read the entire Bible individually, collectively, and in community in a year. I am so happy that you have chosen this journey, and what a beautiful journey that it is we are on together, allowing God to change us on this journey with Him as we go through the Word. So, Father, we give you access today to speak, to say, and to do, to change us from the inside out so that we are not the same through your word. We're going to read, continuing the book of Ezekiel today, chapters 35, 36, and 37. This week, we are reading God's word translation, Ezekiel chapter 35. The Lord spoke his word to me. He said, "Son of man, turn to Mount Seir and prophesy against it. Tell it, this is what the Almighty Lord says. I'm against you, Mount Seir. I will use my power against you, and you will become a wasteland. I will turn your cities into ruins, and you will become a wasteland. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You have always been an enemy of Israel. You deserted the people of Israel in battle when they were in trouble during their final punishment. That is why, as I live, declares the Almighty Lord, I will let you be murdered. Murderers will pursue you. Since you don't hate murdering people, murder will pursue you. I will turn Mount Seir into a barren wasteland, and I will destroy everyone who comes or goes from there. I will fill your mountains with those who have been killed. Those killed in battle will fall on your hills and in your valleys and ravines. I will turn you into a permanent wasteland. Your cities will not be lived in. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You said, 'These two nations, Israel and Judah, along with their land, belong to us. We will take possession of them.' But the Lord was there. That is why, as I live, declares the Almighty Lord, I will do to you what you did to them. When you were angry and jealous, you acted hatefully toward them. Then you will know that I, the Lord, heard all the insults that you spoke about the mountains of Israel. You said, 'They have been deserted and handed over to us to use up.' You bragged and continually talked against me. I heard you. This is what the Almighty Lord says. The whole earth will be glad when I turn you into a wasteland. You were happy when the land of Israel became a wasteland. I will do the same thing to you. You will become a wasteland, Mount Seir, and so will all of Edom. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The Lord said, 'Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel. Tell them, mountains of Israel, listen to the Lord's word. This is what the Almighty Lord says. Your enemies said this about you: Aha, the ancient worship sites now belong to us. So prophesy. Say, this is what the Almighty Lord says. Your enemies turned you into ruins and crushed you from every side. You became the possession of the rest of the nations, and people began to talk and gossip about you. Mountains of Israel, listen to the Almighty Lord's word. This is what the Almighty Lord says to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, and to the empty ruins and abandoned cities that have become prey and are mocked by the rest of the surrounding nations. In my fiery anger, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all of Edom. The Edomites have taken possession of my land with wholehearted joy and with complete scorn. They forced out the people and took their land. So prophesy about Israel. Tell the mountains and hills and the ravines and valleys, this is what the Almighty Lord says. I am speaking in my anger and fury because you have been insulted by the nations. So this is what the Almighty Lord says. I raise my hand and swear that the nations which surround you will be insulted. But you, mountains of Israel, will grow branches and bear fruit for my people Israel. My people will come home soon. I am for you. I will turn to you and you will be plowed and planted. I will increase the number of people who live on you. All the people of Israel, all of them, will live on you. The cities will be inhabited and the ruins will be rebuilt. I will increase the number of people and animals that live on you. They will grow and become many. I will let people live on you as in the past, and I will make you better off than ever before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will bring people, my people Israel, to you. They will take possession of you, and you will be their inheritance. You will no longer take their children away from them. This is what the Almighty Lord says. People say that you devour your people and take the children away from your nation. So you will no longer devour your people or take the children away from your nation, declares the Almighty Lord. I will no longer let you hear the insults from the nations. You will no longer suffer the disgrace of the people. You will never again take the children away from your own nation, declares the Almighty Lord. The Lord spoke his word to me. He said, Son of man, when the people of Israel lived in their land, they dishonored it by the way they lived and by everything they did. Their ways were as unclean as a woman's menstrual period. So I poured out my fury on them because they poured out blood on the land, and they dishonored the land with their idols. I forced them into other nations, and they became scattered among the nations. I judged them based on the way that they lived and based on everything that they had done. But wherever they went among the nations, they dishonored my holy name. People said about them, these are the Lord's people, yet they had to leave his land. I became concerned about my holy name because my people dishonored it among the nations wherever they went. So tell the people of Israel, this is what the Almighty Lord says. I am going to do something, people of Israel. I will not do this for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have dishonored among the nations wherever you have gone. I will reveal the holiness of my great name, which has been dishonored by the nations, the name that you have dishonored among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, because I will reveal my holiness among you as they watch, declares the Almighty Lord. I will take you from the nations and gather you from every country. I will bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and make you clean instead of unclean. Then I will cleanse you from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your stubborn hearts and give you obedient hearts. I will put my spirit in you. I will enable you to live by my laws, and you will obey my rules. Then you will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will rescue you from all your uncleanness. I will make the grain grow so that you will never again have famines. I will make fruit grow on the trees and crops grow in the fields so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famines. Then you will remember your evil ways and the bad things that you did, and you will hate yourselves for all these wicked and disgusting things. I want you to know that I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Almighty Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced because of your ways, people of Israel. This is what the Almighty Lord says. On the day that I cleanse you from all your wickedness, I will cause your cities to be lived in again, and your ruins will be rebuilt. The wasteland will be plowed. It will no longer remain empty for everyone passing by to see. People will say, this wasteland has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities were destroyed. They were empty and ruined, but now they are fortified and have people living in them. The surrounding nations that are left will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted crops in the land that was empty. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Almighty Lord says. I will also let the people of Israel ask me to make them as numerous as sheep. They will be like the sheep for sacrifices, like the sheep in Jerusalem during the appointed festivals. Their ruined cities will be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. The power of the Lord came over me. The Lord brought me out by his Spirit and put me down in the middle of a valley. The valley was filled with bones. He led me all around them. I saw that there were very many bones at the bottom of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I answered, "Only you know, Almighty Lord." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Tell them, dry bones, listen to the Lord's word. This is what the Almighty Lord says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put ligaments on you, muscles on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. While I was prophesying, suddenly there was a rattling noise, and the bones came together, one bone attaching itself to another. As I looked, I saw that ligaments were on them, muscles were on them, and skin covered them. Yet there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, this is what the Almighty Lord says. Come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these people who were killed so that they will live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. Then they came to life and stood on their feet. There were enough of them to form a very large army. The Lord also said to me, "Son of man, all the people of Israel are like these bones. The people say, 'Our bones are dry and our hope has vanished. We are completely destroyed.' So prophesy. Tell them, this is what the Almighty Lord says. My people, I will open your graves and take you out of them. I will bring you to Israel. Then, my people, you will know that I am the Lord, because I will open your graves and bring you out of your graves. I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live. I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." The Lord spoke his word to me again. He said, "Son of man, take a stick and write on it, for Judah and for the Israelites who are associated with it. Then take another stick and write on it, the stick of Ephraim, for Joseph and for all the people of Israel associated with it. Then join both sticks together so that they will be one in your hand. Your people will say to you, 'Tell us what you mean by this.' Then say to them, 'This is what the Almighty Lord says. I will take Joseph's stick, which is in Ephraim's hand, and the tribes of Israel associated with it, and I will put them with Judah's stick. I will make them into one stick. They will be one in my hand. When you hold the sticks in your hand, let the people see them. Then tell them, 'This is what the Almighty Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they've gone. I will gather them from everywhere and bring them to their own land. I will form them into one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. One king will rule all of them. They will no longer be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer dishonor themselves with their idols, with their detestable things, or with their rebellious acts. I will forgive them for all the times they turned away from me and sinned. I will cleanse them so that they will be my people and I will be their God. My servant David will be their king, and all of them will have one shepherd. They will live by my rules and they will obey my laws. They will live in the land that I gave my servant Jacob, the land where their ancestors lived. They, their children, and their grandchildren will live in it permanently. My servant David will always be their prince. I will promise them peace. This promise will last forever. I will establish them, make them increase in number, and put my holy place among them permanently. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, have set Israel apart as holy, because my holy place will be among them permanently. Today we read one of the most powerful passages in Ezekiel. Of course, this is sheerly my opinion. The Valley of Dry Bones. And it's so powerful because we have the entire visual in front of us of a literal valley of very dry bones. Very dry bones means they are pretty much baked in the open sun, which means the process of decomposing has far surpassed, so that we are left with skeletal bones that are just out baking in the dry sun. So it's like it's as dead can get. And the Spirit of the Lord comes to Ezekiel and speaks and tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these dead, dry bones. And so he does. And as he does, something transpires and takes place. A rebirth takes place. A recreation takes place. And all of these things took place, and then we know that there was yet no breath in the bones. And the Lord spoke and said, prophesy to the breath. I love this. So he prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. Then they came to life and stood on their feet. There were enough of them to form a very large army. Okay, let's just think about this for a second. They went from very dead, very dry bones, to a very large army. Now, what are armies equipped to do? They are equipped and trained to fight. They must be strong, they must be battle ready, and they need to be in some sort of shape to fight. Fit for fighting. So just try to imagine, like, starting out dead and ending up fit to fight, to form an army. Now, there's so many things that we could say about this and so many things to take away from this, especially when we are coming up in a season in our country where the seasons are about to change. They might be changing already wherever you're at. So at the end of our summer, this is where our crops start to die off. This is where our leaves fall off the trees. There's a natural progression that takes place in the earth among creation. And we are in a season of ending in the summer. And it will turn into fall. The trees will turn their beautiful, bright autumn colors, and they'll die. They will fall to the ground, and it will produce a layer of covering for the ground that will build the ground up, and it will provide natural, organic matter to feed the soil. And then we will go through a season of winter where everything will lie dead and doormat. And even then, the earth is flourishing, it's replenishing, it is doing what it's supposed to get ready for the season of rebirth, of renewing, of recreation, redemption, if you will. I point to the seasons is that there is a necessary, appointed time for things to live and provide and then to die. And we have something that happens in the process of life, that when that life expires, when that life comes to an end, we have something called the time of death. It's the final moment. It is the recorded moment of expiration, the finality. This helps us embrace the process of mourning and grief and closure, and to allow our minds and our bodies and our spirits to accept the new reality. What I love about this passage, the Valley of the Dry Bones, is that we are sort of standing on the edge of the valley looking out, gathering that there was a time of death. There was a moment that was pronounced that this is the end of life. But what we see and what we must be reminded today is that God will resurrect anything that he wants to. God has the final word. Now, with that being said, we can walk around with all authority of heaven and earth and speak, demand, command things to resurrect from their death. And the problem that I have with that is that sometimes when they don't work, we formulate our faith, or we have to recalibrate our faith, reformulate our faith. Here's, I think, the really crucial piece to this story. God specifically spoke to Ezekiel, instructed him to go to the Valley of the Dry Bones. He then instructed him every step of the way to prophesy, to speak out. And Ezekiel obeyed. He did. And then he spoke out, and new tendons and new skin were formed. And then he told him to prophesy to the breath. There was a very specific process. There were very specific steps that he instructed Ezekiel to make. And as he prophesied, the process to which he spoke to came to be. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with believing that things that are dead and gone, to believe for their rebirth. But just as the seasons, just as the natural progression of life, there is often a process. And we so badly want to avoid the process, to grab the instantaneous, the supernatural. And if there is anything that God is, he is. Supernatural is definitely one of the things, but so many times I know him to be the God of process. And there's usually that one next necessary step that he's asking of us to do, because we are so often part of the process of the supernatural. It requires something of us usually, and it's usually something hard. But we are so unwilling to do the hard. We will avoid it as much as possible. I'm telling you what, I don't have anything to scientifically back it up, but process usually requires us. We are usually necessary to the process. For example, sometimes when you encounter marital problems, you hear the testimony, God healed our marriage. He restored our marriage. And we rejoice and praise God. Thank you, God, for your supernatural healing of our marriage. And we leave out the process of restoration. Well, there was 15 months of counseling. There was a separation. We went down to separate bank accounts, even. It was hard. We mourned the loss. We wrote up the papers twice. We ripped up the papers. I surrendered my pride. They surrendered their need for control. There's the process. There's the necessary steps that had to happen for restoration to take place. Situation after situation that we could talk about. I've shared my own journey of depression. Some people can say God healed me of depression, and some people can say God is healing me of depression. I have prayed it away, I have fought it away, I have wished it away, I have medicated away. I am still in the process because it is not a one size fits all. But the hard part was to step out and admit that there was something wrong. Can we please swallow our pride and find safe places and be safe places to admit I am not okay? The process of children coming home that have walked away. And maybe they've walked away from what you have taught them to believe, but maybe they are walking away to find God in a whole new way. And are we releasing them to the process of their own faith? Are we trusting in the one completely that knows them, that knows the hairs on their head, that knows them by name, that loves them far more than we can love these children that he's entrusted us with? We're just going to end today with the words from the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I'm asking us to just sit as the music plays out today for whatever rebirth, redemption, renewal you are believing for. I ask us to sit in the quiet today and ask God, what is the first step to the process? What are you asking me to do that I have possibly not considered, that you want me to be a part of this redemption story? The Lord also said to me, "Son of man, all the people of Israel are like these bones. The people say, 'Our bones are dry and our hope has vanished. We are completely destroyed.' So prophesy. Tell them, this is what the Almighty Lord says. My people, I will open your graves and take you out of them. I will bring you to Israel. Then, my people, you will know that I am the Lord, because I will open your graves and bring you out of your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."